Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back. Last big segment before we put a bow on this Thirsty Thursday and turn it over to DP, Coach Renee Saunders, and Rico for the Supernovas pregame show. First serve is at 7. Stay tuned because it's always a great call. Plus, the Supernovas are looking to get a little bit of a get back here. A quick turnaround from the flight in from San Diego. But big news today was the potential or the first, I don't know, mock of what a potential Super League could be. The one I saw, Austin, was 80 teams, some independents, and they had some guys that some teams that had to work their way in it. Now, first and foremost, what I would do if I was Commissioner Jay Foreman, which would be one of the best decisions the NCAA or college football would make. Obviously, this is with the understanding that football itself has broken off from everything else. Now, what I would do is, even though we've broken off from everything else, I would still have educational obligations for you. That's number one. Number two, all players would be under contract that have NIL deals. Number three, I would have a panel of unbiased, reasonable people that we would vote on or pick that would be on a transfer portal board. You would be still allowed one free transfer after 2 years, unless it's an emergency, family, legit medical. And there would have to be time that you would have to do it. I would have one portal time a year, and that would be it. Now, that's all. Now, it'd be different based on school and stuff like that, so it might be two, because some people are in quarters and semesters.
Are you thinking post-national championship game and post-spring?
I would have post-national championship, post-school ending based on if you're a quarter
or
a
semester.
Okay. So essentially post-spring.
Yeah.
But way post-spring.
Okay. Had some time to actually sit on campus, think about the future, right. Have conversations.
And then also I would have a potential salary cap ceiling, meaning this is the highest you can go for your cap for your employees, your players. I would also make sure that some of these contracts are obligated, regardless of what you're getting. A certain percentage goes into a trust fund or something like that.
Mm.
Standard.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, whats, or but. Every player.
Okay, so salary cap. You're an NFL guy. You know they can get creative with bonuses and whatnot. Out the window, just straight dollars.
No bonus.
Okay.
No bonus.
No signing bonus. No roster bonus.
No.
Okay.
Now, you could do some moving costs or like a car or something like that. I mean, we can amend it now. I just want to make sure these are the basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, also with that being said, as a GM of your team, every year you're allowed 4 emergency moves. That means you can get somebody out of the portal and break the rule, but you got to pay for it.
Okay.
And how you pay for it? You're not paying, you have to pay whoever you're getting them from, or they have to pay out of their contract. I'll figure that out later.
So basically like a trade potentially?
Yep.
Okay.
And not during the season. No, mm-hmm. we down the road, you'll be able to trade during the season.
But just starting off.
Just starting off.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, once you use your emergency, there's salary cap ramifications.
You get this season or next season?
For that season.
Okay.
Right? Or for the next season. So it'll hurt you because you're already kind of set and say you already do it. So it'd be for the next season.
Okay.
Why would I want that? I want it to be where when you make these moves, you're creating some... I want to know how bad you want to make the move. and I want loyalty to the players, and I want the players to be loyal to you. Because if you really want to move that bad, you're going to have to pay back some of that NIL money or nullify it. Now, granted, if you're smart, you know what you're nullifying and you know what you're getting. I would also create a better connection or more known connection between the coaches and the
collectives.
Here's also what I would do. Suggestion. The collectives should have a football board and get in there. Everybody watched. Guys that know football, played, coached it, know it. Why? Because you want to make sure you don't get fall into the impulsive in the moment. I'm going to overpay for a player. And then 4 months later, you're mad and you're trying to find out who made the bad decision. Why am I doing that? I want the negotiation process to be more efficient, but then also I want everybody to be beneficial, benefit off of it, the player and the people that are giving the money.
Love that idea. I know you said as well, you know, the non-biased people to judge the transfer portal, right? Who determines that? Like, is Commissioner Foreman voting on it? Are like
because no,
like,
that's your job as a collective. I want to see.
So for Nebraska, hypothetically,
I want your collectives to have your ducks in a row. I want it to. Yes. I want you're like at a bank. You have a loan group.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is no different.
Okay,
I want it to be structured.
For Nebraska, who are you putting on that board? Hypothetically, 5-person board.
Well, you could do it by position. You know, you could have a couple offensive line. It doesn't have to be 5 positions, but you could have a board that you want to do it, and you get there, and it can't be always everybody gets their way either. Just give your input, then the decision makers go and make their decision. Mm-hmm. But you're making a decision with some help.
That part, because I feel like formalizing it might be tough.
Yeah.
So what I think a good collective should be doing anyway, but should do.
Consultants. Right.
Bring in 3 or 5 people that know the position, that know the scheme, that know what the team wants to accomplish, and say, look at this player's film.
Right.
Look at what we're doing. Does it fit? If it fits, what valuation do you put on it out of this budget?
If I was running a collective, we have people that run the collective. If you really want to up your closing percentage, you better have some people that know what they're talking about, that know the game of football, that can speak the language better than you can, and can be consultants when need be, can help you be closers, right? Because you're gonna have to close some people.
So brand name recognition.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's some people that can swing you from Wisconsin to Nebraska, Notre Dame to Nebraska, or whatever it may be. Go get a kid out of the portal from Oregon that's, you know,
between LSU and Nebraska.
Right. Or whatever it may be. You know, get that knucklehead that went to Alabama, Iowa, back to Alabama. Well, let's stop over in Nebraska real quick.
Just a couple hours away.
Right.
Come say hi.
Have a list of guys that you have as consultants that are operating for the betterment of your collective, and more importantly, the betterment for the Nebraska football team.
So if is their job to scout ahead, kind of, to if this guy enters the portal?
You should be
in
a collective. Just get people that you call a consultant. It's like having a, you know, well, look at your boy P. Diddy. He's got to have an attorney on call, right? That's part
of it. Retainer.
And here's why it's important. Because you're spending your money probably a little bit better because you're able to close better. You're getting some players that you really, really want. And now, see, there's got to be communication. There should be communication between the scouting department, coaches, and being able to, the GM, to be able to evaluate the needs of the team. But then also what you're presenting in a product to a player and a family or a loved one or whatever, or a guardian that's bringing these athletes here. And this is in every sport, but we're talking about particular football, is you're showing them, okay, Nebraska's doing something next level. We got all the fun stuff, the toys, but they're actually really, really taking care of us. And actually, it's an honor to get an NIL deal from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You're not entitled to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also you got to get around some people that have been in NFL locker rooms, that have done things, that have a good mindset on them. So you know what? He might not fit into your locker room. This is a guy that's only going to be here for like 9 months. He's going to hit the bricks. Mm-hmm. Or he's like, you know what? The read I get on him, because you might just run into a conversation. As soon as he gets his check, he's out. As soon as he has a little bit of success, he actually probably really, he really, really wants to go where Coach Strickland was at. But Strickland, you know, say he went from Auburn to Michigan State, and Michigan State didn't have an offer for him, or whatever the dynamics are. So you got to be aware of that. Hey, listen, this dude you might like, But this is the guy he really wants to play for. Well, you know what? He fell into our laps because so-and-so got it. I mean, that's just what you have to do. That's how I would set it up. Now, my structure would be Commissioner Foreman. I'm having two vice presidents. It's actually like a mafia pyramid. We're going to have everybody all the way down to the ground floor, and we're all going to meet together and congregate together for this great game of college football.
Who gets your first horse head?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
It is. Sorry.
It's not Andrew Luck's dad, though.
Okay.
He didn't hit people over the head every league, everything. It was Andrew Luck's dad. I would probably try to get somebody like a Peyton Manning, right? That's gives obviously more cachet than me, but a really good sound mind and doesn't take himself too serious.
What about like an Elway?
No.
Okay.
Peyton Manning.
Well, I was saying you said two, so.
No, but the other person I'm going to have, maybe like a Gene Smith.
Ah, right? Okay.
And then we're going to go down from there. And the way I'm going to have it, I'm going to create a league of 44 teams. That's my upper echelon teams. Those are the teams that are already have established themselves. The top, let's say, 38 teams have already established themselves. Like as they've been dependable, making bowl games, you know, financially good and all this other stuff. You know, just the top 38 teams. The other six have been ones that have recent history of playing their way into those top 44. Everybody has the cap the same. And then you go, then you're going to go, so that's 44. And then you're going to have 22 teams. So that would put you at, or 32 teams, that would put you at 76, right?
Mm-hmm.
76 teams. From there, the other 32 are ones that are in your regulatory leagues, and you could break those 32 teams up into four different sections of eight.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And obviously your bottom eight is, you're almost bottoming out. Now, you have four more that are going to have to have the potential to work their way up into that bottom eight, or in that, you know, work their way up.
Did you make that bottom eight play that next four?
Yes, you do. Yes, it's kind of like the NBA play-in. You know, and if the higher you up or higher, when you're 1, 2, 3, and 4, you might get a bye or whatever. But those, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4 at the bottom, you guys are getting after it. And also you make your top four play the bottom eight of the order. So it's kind of like you constantly be able to work yourself up. Now, then you'll get the teams that, okay, well, it's not fair. Like say like a Virginia Tech or something like that. Well, then step your game up. What it's going to allow, I think what this potentially could do, you could create more loyalty, right? You could, obviously, you got to have buyouts and all this other stuff, but then also you create more competitive environment to where you get guys that you're constantly making them earn their NIL money, earn their benefits, but then also when they do earn it, they actually maximize it and get paid actually. So I guess they get to go back and get it almost time and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you think about the football teams, you're able to really find, you have a clear path on how you get to where you need to get to. There's, you know, you're not having any prejudice or like, oh, well, this is a blue blood. You're not a blue blood. Because I think when you work your way up, you will get the fanfare. You will get the national media attention to where when you arrive at a college foot, when you get in that top 40, you're making some noise. And it's also making the teams that are at the top make better decisions and not be able to go and Debo people based on like Texas A&M spent all that money in that in supposedly an NIL and had what out of the top five like or top six defensive linemen, they had four of them. You know that year they had that crazy right. So then it's allowing you to be more prudent when you or more, you know, fiscally sound when you build your team, build your whole structure. You're gonna have to put more money into your scouting department and your like administration, building a team. So now this is like a professional team, but then also allows you to get a little bit of a break on, you know, sometimes overpaying and players under deliver.
I like that. I also like the idea of the buyout. So let's say a player wants to leave, jump in the portal. Would it be one for one they pay it back, or would it be like 1.2 times their salary cap number?
Depends on how long they're into the university.
Okay.
Right.
And how so long? Like 1.5 times as a freshman, 1.4 as a sophomore, 1.3, and then 1 as a senior grad transfer.
And I think after like year 2 or 3, it drastically drops because you want to be able to give the coaches time. If you're going, if I'm putting more pressure on the coaches to win, I want to put as much pressure on the players being able to be coached.
Now, granted, part of winning is player identification and development.
Right. Give them more time. Now, look, there's always a outlier to all the rules, and there's going to be family situations. There's going to be a change in coaching philosophy. There's going to be a guys that are going to be, then you might be more willing. Say you want to go from the top league down to league 3, but you can still work your way back up. And there's got to be contract, you know, stipulations based on how far you drop. And so then that way, if you do drop down to, let's just say like James Madison wouldn't, excuse me, be in like section 3, but just say they're a team like James Madison is down there. Say like I can't even put South Dakota State, but just say a team down in 3.
FCS.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're dropping down there, but then the player and the team can find a way back up, a clear path. So, okay, we got to get better here. So, you know what? We got to maybe, you know, really up our scout. We got to start looking at this player that's in his 3rd or 4th year, not getting a lot of time. And then also, you know, okay, well, look, you know, you're not going to Clemson, right? Because you can't, you don't have the playing experience or the stats to go to Clemson. Well, you know what? James Madison looks a lot better. And you got 3 years of eligibility left. So now say like you have a kid that at that level 3, going up to level 1. Guess where it's beneficial for both teams? So have a certain number of, say, I want Austin from that number 3 to come up to, like they do in basketball, you go get him from like a North Dakota State to Alabama. Well, you pay like a transfer fee or whatever, like, say, like in European soccer, to the 18 that here, and then you get the player.
Usable on this year's salary cap or next year's salary cap?
Well, it'd be instantaneous because the season would be over. So it'd be after the season. Say I go and pluck a player off your roster.
Oh, gotcha. Got it.
It's happening for that upcoming year.
Season, yeah.
Right. And then also, it also depends on this. Is the transfer fee just for a 1-year rental? Right. And you saw this just now coming out before I came in here with Stephon Diggs. They're going to let him be a free agent in 2025. So as good as that move looked for Houston, he pulls a hammy, roll an ankle. You stuck like Chuck Nick Cesario. You might be on your way out of Houston, right? But it might be smart if he balls out, late franchise him or transition tag him, and then you get to sign him back. But that's, you know, if it was the 5th, we'd all be drunk. Even on Thirsty Thursday here, Kevin Meyer, Corkenbaugh, appreciate you, my brother. That's what I would do a commissioner form. And obviously there's holes in this initial plan. I like the 80 teams. I like you have the ability to do it. And then also I would do this also, Austin. I would have some cost sharing that goes down to the different Division 1 AA, Division 2, Division 3. Reason why? Let's make sure we're growing the game as a whole, right? Because if you put more money into the lower league, you might get the kid that, you know, develops from a Division 3. We've seen guys go for Division 3, all of a sudden hits a growth spurt, and then next thing you know, he's getting drafted and playing. And so that's what I like the idea. I like it that you know, if you're going to break off, I know you're trying to put yourself on a pecking or at a pedestal, but you also have to be able to deliver and be able to have a sustainable project. You can't keep changing it back and forth. So anyways, Commissioner Foreman, I don't know if that might be the quickest tenure. Right?
That's a great start.
Hey, they say this dude got great ideas, poor execution. Get him up out of here. Matter of fact, we're going to execute him. You know, that's what they'll do. Commissioner Foreman rose to prominence, died on the same day. But anyways, that's what I think. That would be great if they did it. I think it's coming sooner than later. They are telling you without telling you directly. College football is changing. The landscape is changing. If it's changing, you got to be willing to change and adapt as well. Obviously, a great Thursday. Get outside. Be joyful out there. Do not get hit in the crosswalk. People out here, you remember that game Frogger?
Oh, yeah.
They playing Frogger. It right now, but they playing it in real life. One dude, give a shout out. If you see my man that we saw on the stream, if you see him the rest of the week, give him dap. He's made out of steel. He's the man of steel. Anyways, stay tuned. Pre-game show, Supernovas, DP, Coach Renee Saunders, Old School, we're out.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.